Hello and welcome to Witchy Wellness Radio. I'm your host, Lauren Chalantani, women's holistic health coach and fellow recovering perfectionist. This podcast was created to show you that your body is not in the way. It is actually leading your way. Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to episode 123, The Essential Oil Apothecary with Dr. Eric Zielinski. And if you guys are interested in learning about more on essential oils, my team is hosting a live essential oils class every Monday at 2 p.m. and at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Head over to the show notes to use that link to sign up, as classes do fill up. Once you sign up, you'll immediately receive our class link via Zoom, along with class notes package to print for the class. Whether you're curious about what doTERRA oils could do for you or would want a refresh on how to use these bottles that you might already own, you will love this class and feel the impact of our beautiful community. I hope to see you guys there. And now, without further ado, please enjoy episode 123, Essential Oils Apothecary with Dr. Eric Zielinski. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Witchy Wellness Radio. Again, this is your host, Lauren Chalantani, and this is a show where you learn your body is not in the way, but actually leading your way. And today we have the wonderful Dr. Zielinski here. He is the author of a national bestseller, The Healing Power of Essential Oils, and The Essential Oils Apothecary. Dr. Z has pioneered natural living education since 2003. Trained as an aromatherapist, public health researcher, and chiropractor, Dr. Z started naturallivingfamily.com in 2014 with his wife to help people learn how to use natural remedies like essential oil safely and effectively. Now visited more than 3 million natural health seekers every year, naturallivingfamily.com has rapidly become the number one source for non-branded essential oils education. And today we're going to talk about that so much more and all about their newest, greatest, best book, The Essential Oil Apothecary. Welcome to the show, Dr. Z. I'm so excited to jump into all this with you.
Well, Lauren, thanks for having me. I'm pumped, and there's so much to share in so many ways. So I just can't wait to see where the conversation goes.
Me too. I know you and your whole family are just this wealth of information and research. But I would love to hear, you know, I'm sure that didn't happen overnight. Lots of hours and reading and testing kind of came out of this. And in your own personal and family journey to where you got to doing the work that you guys do today, I would love to hear your own story and your family story too, of how you got to writing these beautiful two books.
You know, when you said what you did, I was reminded of a memory, and I'll start there. I was 24, 25 at the time. And I remember bringing in a freshly squeezed, freshly juiced green. And we're talking green. When I say green, I'm talking green, kale, collards, celery, as green as you could get. I juice vegetables every morning. And I went to work, and I was working for a finance company at the time. And the guys and gals would kind of make fun of me because I wouldn't eat the normal food that they would eat. When they would have pizza days, I wouldn't participate. And they're like, "What's in your juice today, Eric?" You know, and you know what happened though, was that I was just living this life. I was really finding my way of how it is to be healthy for me. And it hit me because I really essentially became a health evangelist, because I was just trying to help people as much as I could. So, you know, those very same people that kind of jested and made fun of my lunches and my juice, they came to me on a regular basis, like, "Hey," kind of tongue in cheek, like, "You know, I got like a knee issue. I got this, I got that, a sniffle. And so I inadvertently kind of became their health coach, where I wasn't charging. I wasn't a profession. It was something I did. It was, again, health evangelism. It's how, the only way I could call it is why I refer to what we do as a Bible health ministry, because we're just actively involved in helping people live an abundant, healthy life, because I know what it's like being sick. And so does my wife. My wife was on 10 different prescription medications when I met her, and she was bulimic, and she had just, you know, she dealt with her own demons. And me, I was addicted to alcohol, smoked a pack of cigarettes a day. I more than abused narcotics. I was clinically depressed. I had gut issues, cystic acne. Like, I got to a point in my late teens, early 20s, where I was contemplating suicide. And so I hit my proverbial rock bottom. And when I became a Christian, it was like everything opened up in my eyes. And it opened up the door to a spiritual revelation that my body is a temple of the spirit. I need to take care of it. And fast forward to where I am today, 18 years from now, I've been researching and studying natural therapies because, quite frankly, medicine failed me. I mean, when I was a teenager and I had acne, my doctor at the time prescribed Accutane, aka the suicide drug. No wonder 5 years later I started to develop suicide tendencies. And when I was a young child having chronic ear and throat infections, and my mom and dad elected to get me on multiple rounds of antibiotics, no wonder I had chronic gut issues and gas and bloating all through my teens. It's like I started seeing the cause and effect, and to say that I was a medical failure is, I feel, a very fair estimation, because when I even went to a neurologist because I had chronic back conditions and a little bit of a scoliosis in my spine, he looked at me and said, "You have a back of a 50-year-old." And this was when I was 21. Like, what have you done to yourself? And it kind of hit me, like, this way of life that I've been living, the standard American diet, the medicine for every kind of pill and ailment sort of mentality, really brought me to a place of destruction and darkness. And so I've been I swung the pendulum on the other standpoint. And so it's been a wonderful journey experimenting with and utilizing homeopathy, essential oils, herbs, supplements. And I guess the long and the short of it is how I even came here is really not just chance, but divine inspiration that I realized during my studies that there was a great lack of unbiased information on essential oils. And I say that very carefully because a lot of my friends are distributors and bloggers and aromatherapists that sell their own oils. But no joke, I challenge anyone listening right now, find a blogger talking about essential oils who doesn't have some sort of financial tie to a company. It's impossible, literally impossible. And I was trained as a public health researcher when I was getting my doctorate. And so I was like, you know what? I'm gonna do something about that. And so 5 years ago, now six, my buddy Josh Axe, Dr. Axe and I, and Jill Winger from the Prairie Homestead, we co-hosted this Essential Oil Summit that was an online event that reached 165,000 people. And it blew my socks off. I just thought, hey, let's get together some friends. Let's talk oils without a sales pitch, without mentioning a brand, compliant, so no one have to worry about getting in trouble with the FDA. And we did, and it blew up. And from there, I went to aromatherapy school. I really learned the science. I've been pouring myself into it for over 6 years. And I'm just very blessed and honored to be coming out with our third book. And I hope that people really resonate with the Essential Oils Apothecary, because it ultimately takes all that we've done the last 6 years and it puts essentially a bow on the present, where we're going to advance strategies and protocols now, chronic disease. And so I'm very honored and fortunate and quite frankly proud of this work, because it takes all that the literature, all that I've learned over these years, it takes all that the medical literature talks about essential oils and chronic conditions and disease, and it summarizes it. And literally, there's nothing like it ever. And the reason that's why I did it, because no one's ever done anything like it before. And I could think of nothing more timely in this day and age when we're still crippled by the coronavirus to talk about something like chronic conditions that, as you know, are the primary factors of what makes people sick and ultimately die of the pandemic. So we're really trying to help people look at disease holistically in a way that will serve them for many, many years.
Awesome. And like you said, I am tied to an essential oil distributor company. Mm-hmm. You know, there is so many biased research out there. How do you know what's fact from fiction? And I mean, I know you and I know all about the back's end of essential oil, why it's so great. And I would love to kind of pick your brain, this library, it's an encyclopedia of essential oils. can we start from the top and give us some background on what essential oils are and how they've become such a part of modern life, and which I think everybody's modern life should have in there.
You know, I think, yes. And I want to preface this by maybe even clarifying financial bias, air quotes. Here's the reason why this is important. There's legitimate research talking about, let's say, frankincense essential oil and how in vitro cells in the petri dish, frankincense can kill cancer cells. Well, because that research was conducted by researchers and funded by a multi-level marketing company, that, by the way, isn't looked highly upon in the medical industry. And other industries look at that and be like, well, that's biased. That's self-funded, and that's self-funded research. You're very hard-pressed to find independent researchers doing research on anything non-drug related because there's no money into it. So that's why it's important to have some sort of independent research, because we could be a third-party voice. And so bless your heart and bless everyone who sell essential oils and who promote essential oils. We need that, but we also need the other end of the spectrum. We need the balance. So that's the importance, y'all. It's not arrogance or pride or better than I, better than thou. No, this is how we resonate with a very fact-finding type of community now. Unlike 5 years ago, no one was fact-checking anything. Now everything gets fact-checked. So when you talk about essential oils, people are like, well, what are they? Well, they're plant medicine in its purest form. That's all I could say. It's simple. The healing power of the plants, the volatile, meaning they readily evaporate, organic, meaning carbon-based compounds, because there are multiple different chemicals, that's compound. Those volatile organic compounds that are in plants, roots, leaves, twigs, bark, a number of different flowers, these volatile organic compounds have been gifted by nature to protect the plant, ward off vectors. They're antiviral, they're antibacterial, they're antifungal. They are rich in antioxidants. They're actually known as biochemical. They're actually known as wonderful biochemical compounds that help the body heal itself. They're plant-based compounds, all right? And that's something to consider, because we're talking a different level of healing than your vitamins and minerals. Like, this is what the basis for most medicine is. And I want to leave everyone with that. Before the advent of the antibiotic in the mid-40s, 1940s, the combat medicine from World War I and World War II, I'm talking the front lines of World War I, World War II, to battle infection, gangrene, were essential oils. Lavender, tea tree, eucalyptus, clove, oregano. I mean, this was medicine. And so when chemists extrapolated this wonderful chemical, this methyl salicylate type of chemical from birch, which our ancestors have used birch resin and birch tree for thousands of years for an analgesic pain relieving property. When chemists extracted that chemical and like, wow, this is what makes birch so pain soothing, inflammation soothing. And then they manufactured it synthetically. They put some fillers in it. They added some other ingredients, and they put a shiny white coating on it. And then they put it out into the market and called it aspirin. Like, that's the basis for virtually every drug that we have. And I want to leave people with this. Like, this is a different story than, yes, they're wonderful and they're aromatic and they're incense and they're very poetic. And yes, you know, Shakespeare talks about roses, and there's mentions in the Bible and the, you know, Bhagavad Gita and all these different ancient scriptures and ancient texts. But the reality is, your chemist, your pharmaceutical company, it's not like these people just invent chemical structures in a vacuum. It's not like a chemist wakes up one morning and she says, wow, let's put all these chemicals together. And that, no. They have a basis for everything that we do, for every drug. And that's why you see a lot of the chemicals that are in the plants, like limonene, which is a rich anti-inflammatory, cancer-killing chemical that is in citrus plants. You'll see limonene now in a number of different drugs to boost mood, proven antidepressant, help with anxiety, help with stress. And so you start thinking about this like, wow, this is wonderful. It's taking the wisdom of nature. It's taking plant medicine in concentrated form. And I'll stress this, because using essential oils the right way, properly, is where you see efficacy and safety. Because the reality is, when you get a bottle And like this bottle, if you're watching, if you're able to watch, is you're looking at roughly like 3 pounds of lavender flowers. And it's hard to conceptualize because when you pick up a lavender blossom, I mean, it's lighter than air. Get 3 pounds of that, steam distill it, and you get one itty bitty bottle of lavender. Same thing with lemon or orange rinds, because the oils are encapsulated in the rind of the fruit. You have to cold press, like you cold press an olive to make olive oil, up to 40 different citrus fruits, right? And you see hundreds of pounds of rose. That's why rose is so expensive. Like, why am I saying this? Because you're not going to find rose oil in a rose garden or lavender oil in a lavender garden. They're natural, but they're still manufactured. And they're very much concentrated, which means we treat them like medicine. And so they're also the basis for most of your cleaning products and flavor. That's the other thing. Most people don't recognize 50%, literally half of all the essential oils manufactured on the planet are used by the food and flavor industry. Like, what do you think flavors your Coca-Cola? It's a proprietary blend of essential oils. And it's just micro doses. That's the difference. They're not putting 15 drops of whatever it is in a bottle of water. No, they're blending it. It's micro doses. So when we talk about culinary doses to therapeutic doses, that's a huge difference. And so that's really the basis for my work, essentially, is to take what the researchers are doing. And by the way, there are a lot of researchers, especially in Iran, India, and other countries. They're looking at different blends and different doses for specific disease conditions. And they're coming up with wonderful, wonderful results, not only in vitro, cells in a petri dish, animal, but human trials. And don't believe what you might see out there on TV or see on blogs. There are hundreds of research trials conducted on humans, depending on a variety of things, from ingestion to aromatherapy, hand massage, to you name it, all kinds of different properties and different things. So just want to encourage folks that this is very much 21st, 22nd century evidence-based plant medicine in its purest, most concentrated form. And I'll leave everyone with this. I love supplements and I love herbs, dried herbs, but nothing can compare to the therapeutic efficacy and the potency of essential oils, because truly nothing is as concentrated as essential oils. And your herbs and your supplements are wonderful, but mostly they're dried. And when they're dehydrated and encapsulated, the essential oil gets dried out. So you lack that medicinal benefit in your herbs and in your supplements. That's why I like to add essential oils back into the mix.
Awesome. And I know you guys, your 2018 book was an all-time bestseller. It was the most sold aromatherapy book in the world. And you kind of already answered this, but why this new book? You know, what changed the past 3 years that motivated you to write The Essential Oils Apothecary?
You know, Lauren, the first book was where I was at, actually. I wrote in 2017. I just finished through aromatherapy training. It was after interviewing dozens of experts, hosting 2 summits online, doing a lot of work, just researching. And I have to say, I got the basics down. Like I was very much fortified internally with my family, emotionally, spiritually, professionally. Like I got the basics down. And so this book was really, it's a 101 kind of book. It's great for beginners. I mean, it covers everything soup to nuts. And it was the level that I was at, if that makes sense. Well, since then it's been, you know, it was 3 years since I wrote this last one last year. It just, you know, it's coming out now. A lot happened in 3 years. And quite frankly, I grew a lot, like a lot of us do. I grew, I matured, I started diving deeper into research that I wasn't even exposed to. And quite frankly, I don't know if I was able to handle, like you can only, you know, you got to go in increments. I have 5 children, like babies just don't run. They have to learn to sit up and crawl and all that fun stuff. And then they could start walking and running. So this next book, like this book is that like next level. It's advanced strategies and protocols. It's like I had to get the first one. I had to really understand the basics so I could even tackle this. And that's where I want to encourage people, myself included, who are really trying to find solutions to their health problems. I'm talking advanced conditions here, cancer, Alzheimer's, heart disease. You just can't jump right into it. I mean, there has to be a learning phase. There has to be like, okay, let's get some basics down first, right? I mean, there's a nutrition component. There's a mind-body component. There's a mental health component. Like if someone truly wants to combat and prevent chronic disease, it's a holistic lifestyle. And that's no joke. Took me 15 years to develop. And this book I started writing 15 years into my health journey. So that's really why is one, I was ready, but also it became apparent that it was needed. And unfortunately, no book like this has ever been written. And I don't know why. Like, I wonder. And also what's interesting about this book is there's been no book that I've seen about chronic disease as a whole. Like, yeah, you get medical text and you get other like naturopathic text about big picture, what chronic disease is and how to approach it holistically. But there's no book for the, you know, for your neighbor, for your friend at church, for the layperson on chronic disease. I mean, this is really important. This is really important because you'll find books on obesity, weight loss, diet. You'll find books on Alzheimer's. You'll find books on all the different unique chronic diseases, but not one about chronic disease. And why that's important to me, and I think it should be to everybody, is more than ever now on the wake of this pandemic that's been going on for over a year, what are we talking about? Comorbidities, pre-existing conditions. We're talking about people that are obese are the ones most likely to get sick and die of COVID. Well, you just don't get obese. You'd first develop typically type 2 diabetes, and then there's something else that happens like chronic pain, and then there's fatigue and insomnia and libido issues. And next thing you know, you have 5 or 10 different chronic conditions. That's the problem here, is your likelihood of developing multiple exponentially grows once you have one. And it doesn't start though when you're 50. All chronic conditions, and this is ubiquitously agreed upon from all the major health organizations, because people argue what's chronic, what's not. It's typically a condition that lasts 6 to 12 months, and it's longstanding, and it develops early in childhood. That's the key. It develops. You just don't develop cancer for most people next to like a Chernobyl accident. You just don't develop cancer tomorrow. It's taken years. That's why it's called chronic. It's not an acute infection. And so this concept of chronic disease, I didn't know when I started writing this, you know, a year ago, I didn't realize that it was going to be so much more relevant in the context of the pandemic. And it's kind of interesting that I wrote it while in forced quarantine. So it really put things into perspective. It really put things into perspective because that's when all the research started coming out about diabetes and heart disease and about obesity. It's like, wow, those are the risk factors. And so now through my work and a lot of other authors, good authors. I mean, you know, my mentor, Scylla Shepherd Hanger. You have Robert Tisserin, who wrote the Essential Oil Safety Guide. There's so many good authors out there that have paved the groundwork for such a work like this. A lot of people covered the clinical basics and have covered the, you know, home user type. But I feel it's time for us to look at things and try to go to another level. And quite frankly, not conjecture, not even think about my opinion. Let's take what the research says and let's go from there. And so with that, I hope that people, as they go through this book, that they start connecting the dots and start realizing, you know what? Chronic disease is preventable, because that's actually part of the definition. It's highly preventable and treatable, including cancer and Alzheimer's. These are highly preventable, treatable conditions. And you can approach this holistically, integratively, or completely naturally if you want to.
Amazing. Yeah, I know. I love how you said kind of when you were ready to write this and taking those baby steps into this, because, you know, my journey 5-10 years ago, you know, I thought as long as I ate enough kale, enough healthy stuff, everything was going to be fine. You know, I didn't matter what I was thinking or how I was feeling, you know, just when you're ready, your teachers will come.
Yep.
Or, yep. you know, write a new book. And I love the timing of how this divine timing for you to get into this space to write this. This is a book that I think the world needs right now to wake up to this, because like you said, all of these high risk factors are these chronic conditions, chronic diseases. And in the mainstream media, you aren't hearing anything of how to promote a healthier immune system, how to heal those chronic conditions. That's just not in the vocabulary at all, or the vernacular. What are some other surprising conditions or surprising research that you found that essential oils work well with, that maybe, you know, in addition to those cofactors for COVID that, you know, a lot of people deal with every single day?
You know, this is telling of where a lot of us are, in that you can't hide from search data. Search data means what you're typing on Google, whatever, DuckDuckGo, whatever your favorite browser is. My number one most searched phrase and term on my website about essential oils are essential oils for sex. Now, that's interesting. There's a reason why I'm mentioning this, right? Because we talk about libido. And that's the reason why, quite frankly, I talked about libido and erectile dysfunction. We have a whole chapter on that. Is that there's a lot of people. Again, I on my website, I have articles on everything. Everything from Alzheimer's to acne to cancer to autoimmunity, but sex. And I don't know about you, but I've experienced when I'm not well, that's very much reflective in my sex drive. Like when I'm not healthy, emotionally, mentally, even spiritually, right? Especially physically. I have found that your sex drive is really the litmus test to how robust your health is. By and large, I know that's a generalization, right? I'm not talking being a horny teenager. And there's a reason why that, you know, they're relatively healthy. They're just boom, running on all cylinders. And so you'll find that a commonality with a lot of people, especially as people age, is their sex drive just really gets dampened. And that's a direct indication that you're not really well health-wise. And that's just a subtle nagging, maybe even, you know, relationship breaking, quite frankly, condition that is an indicator that we need to do some work under the hood. And it's those little things, like those chronic conditions. And you're talking, again, most women are on my website, or most people on my website are women. This isn't something that a lot of men are actively thinking about or looking about. There's definitely a gender stigma in looking at natural therapies, especially essential oils. And that's statistic. And that's not even, you know, that's not being at all stereotypical. There's something to be said about women leading the health of their homes. And there, I want to challenge all women listening to keep on doing what you're doing and to try to convert your partners, your husbands, your sons, your friends to maybe a different way of life. And especially those women who are looking for a little more spice between the sheets, and men that might be listening too, essential oils can have a profound effect. And one thing that's surprising, and this is surprising, again, we hear about jasmine and rose and other oils for libido boosting. And it's great. They're known aphrodisiacs for thousands of years. But one oil, ylang ylang, is typically in your love blends, your sexual promoting, your sensual blends that you can get at all your favorite suppliers. Typically, ylang ylang is included, not for a reason you might think. And that's what surprised me when I was doing the research, is that ylang ylang actually is a known anti-anxiety, anxiolytic oil. So what it doesn't do, it hasn't been shown to actually increase sex drive. What it does do is shown to decrease the anxiety related to sex. Well, why would you have anxiety related to stress? Well, erectile dysfunction, maybe vaginal dryness, maybe abuse, trauma, relationship issues, just not in the mood. I don't know, a million reasons. But a lot of folks don't even get to that point where they're even, you know, where they allow their libido to function properly because of the anxiety related to stress to begin with. That's where ylang ylang can help. So we talk in the book about, I mean, I got to say, I don't have it in front of me. I should. but because I want people to get the book, is this beautiful blend. Like I took this something one of the few blends I actually formulated. I'm not a blend. I'm not a formulator. I give all the credit in the world to the aromatherapist and the chemist to do that. But I basically, it's all the oils. It's like almost all of them. And they all combine in this wonderful, sweet way. And I was playing with a drop of this, two drops of that. And I came up with this blend. I'm like, wow, it opens up your senses. It puts you in peace and calm. It gets you out of that sympathetic fight or flight mode. It puts you in that parasympathetic rest and digest making love mode. By the way, you want to be in that parasympathetic mode to make love. You can't otherwise. And that's another problem. Stress is really one of the biggest dampening factors in libido. Erectile dysfunction. Men, you can't be chronically stressed and expect to have a healthy, vibrant sex life. That's why so many people have to self-medicate with alcohol and drugs, right? Viagra is not the solution. So we came up with this wonderful blend, but these little solutions of preparing yourself emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and also being there for your partner, whether it's a neck rub or a foot rub, just the sky's the limit. But the reality is, I don't know of anything like having some essential oil scented, non-toxic soy candles with some aromatherapy in the air, maybe a whatever mood, music you want, but getting yourself in that position where you could relax and be and let go. And essential oils can literally permeate the environment. And in the same way that essential oils can help create that environment for a wonderful love session, they can also create that environment, skip ahead a couple chapters, to help with focus, help with productivity at work, to help with energy, beat chronic fatigue and pain so you can get back into the gym or exercise. That when you start realizing, and this is one of the take-home messages I have for everybody, especially in the wake of the pandemic, where quite frankly, some people are still in their homes. They're A, afraid of leaving, or they're in an environment where some countries, they're still under quarantine and lockdown. I mean, I think France, last I heard, is in their third lockdown right now as we speak. If you find yourself in an environment where you're constrained, contained, especially at home, I want to encourage you. The one thing I learned and the one thing I most appreciate from this experience, and by the way, don't be a victim of this experience. Don't allow this experience to victimize you. Take the good, take the self-realization, take the best, leave the dross, leave the trash behind, and take the gold and the silver, the beautiful, precious metals through the rest of your life. One of those precious metals, one of those precious things that I took was that I actually, literally, have control over my environment when I'm at home at all times. What I'm listening to, what I see, what I smell through my senses. That's why you can't see it, but I can move. You can see plants in my office, in my home. Why? Because that cleanses and purifies the air. But also, it's proven, maybe we could talk a little bit about forest bathing, because that's another big deal I talk about in my book, is looking at nature stimulates peace, reduces stress. It's proven in the research. They've done research studies looking at hospital patients post-surgery, people with a view out of the window, with trees and nature versus people without a view and people with a view of like the parking garage. They found that people in the same hospital with the same treatments, with the same surgery, they heal much quicker and better and more thorough when they could look at nature. Nature's healing. Smelling nature is even more healing. So I started just realizing we have control over this. And that's the other thing I think that really got people. Why are we talking about this with the Essential Oils Apothecary? It's called control. It's called empowerment. The one thing that most people lost in this whole experience was autonomy, was self-reliance, was control. They didn't feel like they had a control anymore. They felt helpless. They felt hopeless. They didn't know what to do. And I'm not minimizing anything on anyone. I'm just making a very clear point that the people through the quarantines and the sheltering in place, even through now, the people that are really, really struggling still are the ones that don't feel they have any control over the situation. They feel like they're a victim. They've been victimized. The defining factor of someone who has been victimized and someone who's a victor is having control and knowing that you do have control over your environment and over your surroundings. And so that's when I started experimenting with and finding cool blends that really helped me and give me confidence, joy, peace. Because reality is, I'm like everyone. I struggled with this a million ways. Depression, anxiety, stress, anger, hatred. Like this thing sucked. I mean, this was hard for a lot of people. I mean, to say you can't leave your home, that's hard. Or XYZ, you can't do this. Your kids can't go back to school. I wasn't prepared to homeschool four kids overnight. I'm sorry. I love my kids, but I was not ready to run a business, have four kids at home, and God forbid, we couldn't leave. I was not emotionally prepared for that. Well, I quickly adapted, and I want to give you that. That if you want to boost mood, please dive into the citrus oils. Proven anxiolytic will help with stress and anxiety. Will, like, bergamot, neroli, petit green, lime, orange, grapefruit. Wonderful, wonderful orange oil. Wonderful, wonderful tools to have in your toolbox. Proven antidepressants. Proven to help you. Proven. And one research study, again, wonderful little gem in the research, talked about orange oil and vanilla helping people overcome hopelessness. Hopelessness. Who hasn't dealt with a little bit of hopelessness? Maybe right now you're dealing with hopelessness. Maybe right now you're at a point where, is this going to end? Maybe you lost your job, your marriage, your family members. I don't know. My heart goes out to you. I'm saying that we don't need to be a victim of the situation, and we don't need to live in darkness anymore. There are tools available to us. And if it's simply getting a couple drops of orange and a couple drops of vanilla and putting it in your diffuser, clinically proven to help you feel a little better, because hopefully you enjoy the smell, and that's the key. If you don't like creamsicle, dreamsicle, orange Julius, orange vanilla, then pick something you like. But the researchers suggested the more that people enjoyed the aroma, the less hopeless they felt. And they made the participants of the research study participate in a hopeless scenario. And believe it or not, how ironic is it that the activity, and this was a few years ago, the activity that the researchers asked these participants to do was to solve a racial discrimination dilemma. Well, that's pretty much impossible. It's like saying right now, solve systemic racism. Solve it. And you're now stuck in a room with 20 other people to solve this problem. That's it. Well, that sucks. How am I going to do that? Well, they had two groups. One group in a non-aroma environment, the other group in an aromatic environment. And that was the only difference. They were stuck in this clinical setting. I can imagine the chairs were probably hard. They had pencils and paper. Solve this problem. Well, this, what did I sign myself up for? It's not worth the $50, you know, Subway gift card they gave me to be a participant of the study. And they did the aromatherapy. They found every single person felt better. They were less hopeless, and they dealt with the disappointment of not being able to solve the problem better. They dealt with the disappointment of not being able to solve the problem better than those that didn't, statistically across the board. So what am I saying? If you're dealing with something, hopeless, helpless situation, having an aroma in the air literally has been proven. Why? Because the power of the olfactory system stimulating your limbic system, which is your mood, your memory, your emotions, your autonomic function. This is science. This is physiology. And so when you realize you have control over your environment and you actually have control of how you feel, irrespective of how you want to feel, that's a big one. Because I get depression, and sometimes depression is self-perpetuating. Sometimes I remember lighting up a cigarette early in the morning, drinking some black junk coffee. I forget what crappy coffee. It wasn't even like good organic coffee. It was like junk, right? Drinking the worst kind of coffee with a bunch of sugar, smoking a cigarette first thing in the morning when I woke up. And I remember thinking to myself, this isn't good for me, but who cares? I remember thinking to myself, who cares? That is depression bespeaking depression. That's darkness breeding darkness. That's self-perpetuating self-hatred, self-loathing. I think a lot of people can relate to that on one level or another when their second pint of Häagen-Dazs or their extra whatever it is that they're doing, whatever it might be, fifth glass of wine. I don't know, no judgment. I've been there. But if you find yourself in that situation, here's a cool little tip. You can diffuse citrus oils and your brain will still do what your brain's supposed to do. And even though you might not want to feel better, no joke, even though you might have a spouse or a family member you're living with who has a horrible attitude, guess what? You could hack into their biochemistry and make them feel better without them even knowing about it. Just do your thing. And that's the power, because what do you have right now being emitted in your air? Please, if you're taking notes, do one thing. Throw away every synthetically fragrant aerosol or spray or anything in your home. I'm telling you, neurotoxic, linked to Alzheimer's, cancer, dementia, of course, allergies, of course, learning disabilities, of course, the things you might think about, respiratory, but we're talking chronic disease. Chronic brain inflammation. One of the reasons why we have such a high rate of Alzheimer's and dementia. And so if you want to do yourself and your family a favor, even some people you work with, if you work in an environment still, throw away that stuff. And if you're able to, replace it with the real deal. Because all those synthetic fragrances are is a knockoff version of what we see in this little bottle. That's all it is. It's a fake version of this that the body looks at like a virus. The body sees it as a toxin. The body doesn't know. The body really doesn't know. It's bad or it's good. I want everyone to realize that's the immune function. That's the immune function. It's bad or it's good. Virus, bacteria, fungi, toxin, pesticide, bad or it's good. And it's the same systemic process. It's the same inflammatory process. That's what I'm trying to say. It's the same immune response. Right? It's really important. It's really important to catch this, because when we see the toxins that we're instilling ourselves in the air, then we realize, well, why am I not well? Well, the body has no chance to breathe. The body has no chance to really catch its breath. The body is always on guard. At least stop that and watch what will happen. Yours and the attitudes of your family, your pets will start to change. Next thing you know, you start to get better. Slowly and surely. That's really the premise of this essential oils, this natural living lifestyle. And it works. I mean, intuitively, it makes sense. But when the research supports it, it's like, wow, this is pretty cool stuff. So yeah, we're battling inflammation. We talk about that. Like, we're dealing with stress and anxiety. Like, there are root mechanisms that we're focused on scientifically. But a lot of it kind of makes sense. Stop the bad. Allow the body to heal itself and inundate it with good.
Amen. I had to laugh about diffusing for your spouse. My mom has done that so many times to my dad, and he'll call her out on it. So he's like, are you diffusing that because I was stressed out, or, you know, because I was, you know, what, X, Y, Z. But it works. It definitely works. Another hot topic I want to kind of bring into the essential oils mix is CBD, because so many people are swearing by it. I mean, I've heard my own oil friends talk about, you know, their own story of it, but does this play well together with essential oils? I would love to hear what you found in all the research.
You know, like essential oils, and Lauren, I know you're familiar with this, most essential oils on the market are adulterated. All right. That's really important to realize. I've heard various reports, but 75% plus of all oils on the market are either flat out fake, synthetically manufactured, laced with synthetic chemicals to make them smell better or taste better, or they're just mixed with a carrier oil. So you really don't know what you're getting. I mean, you might be paying $50 for just one drop of oil with a bunch of jojoba. It's hard. And so we're in this space where anyone can label anything and sell it. So here's, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but trust me, I have solutions for all of it, by the way. Olive oil, wine, coffee, essential oils, and CBD. These are like the five cash crops that are most adulterated. We're talking 75, 80% of all of it. When you're looking at wine, I don't care if it's organic, biodynamic. When you're looking at a lot of the stuff, a lot of the stuff that we're seeing on the market are junk. Especially olive oil and essential oils and CBD. The problem with CBD, and I cover this a lot in my book actually, because mislabeling is a big issue where people are very much cognizant of the THC level, because some people just don't want to have any kind of psychotropic effects. I get it. You know, a lot of faiths
Jewish faith, Muslim faith, Islam, Christianity, you know, getting high is against their religion. So you got to be careful. So a lot of folks are hesitant, and CBD manufacturers are notoriously wrong when it comes to labeling the THC content, like notoriously wrong. So the reality is there is an American Hemp Growers Association. There's like the number one, it's kind of like the version of USDA organic that you could get. And I would say, look, to make sure that the CBD is real, that it's accurately labeled. Ideally, it'd be certified by this Hemp Growers Association, because at least it's some sort of third. You know, by the way, there isn't even a third party association like that for essential oils, which kind of is kind of tongue in cheek there. But, you know, thank God these essential oil companies invest millions in their own internal testing, because that's what they do, by the way. So do your best. Try to make sure the oil is real. Zero to low THC, so you have no psychotropic effects. But the reality is they play very well. And several of our recipes, especially our ingestion, our capsule remedies, include CBD as part of it. And I have found that a dose of CBD with two or three drops of essential oil filled in a gel capsule with olive oil is a great way of ingesting the essential oil. And it's a wonderful way of complementing the plant-based chemicals. One thing I'll leave you with, which is interesting about CBD, is CBD triggers the CB2 receptors of the endocannabinoid system. And people are like, well, what's the endocannabinoid system? No one cared about it. No one thought of it. It's like the system of the body that we've learned about in medical school and things, but it has an effect on virtually every aspect of your body, physiology. But until CBD came on the scene in cannabis, no one thought twice about it. Well, copaiba and black pepper are two essential oils that are rich in a chemical known as beta-caryophyllin. Beta-caryophyllin triggers the CBD receptors, CB2 receptors, similarly as CBD does. So that means people that use, especially ingest, black pepper and copaiba have a wonderful therapeutic effect similar to CBD. And that's one reason why copaiba is great for pain. Great for pain, great for anxiety. Black pepper is what we use for our cut your cravings blend, for sugar cravings, addiction blends. We have a chapter on depression and substance abuse because they're very similar in how they interact, but the remedies are similar. And black pepper is a key part of that, shown clinically to help reduce the withdrawals related to nicotine cessation. And so when you're talking about satisfying the addiction cascade and satisfying like the detoxification reaction to weaning yourself off of an addictive substance, having something like black pepper and CBD can do wonders, especially taking off the edge. And anyone who's been addicted to anything, myself included, you get it. There's an edge. And that's why people are addicted to that substance. And once you get hooked to it, you're stuck. And that's why it's so hard. You talk to any smoker and you'll see them within 5 to 10 hours after they're not having a smoke, they're just like, you just stay away from them because you know, it's hard. It's hard. You stay away because it might bite your head off. It's hard. It's like being in the second stage of labor. And I've gone through labor now 5 times with my wife. It's like, hey, I'll give my wife a pass. She's going through labor. But that's kind of what it's like detoxing from an addictive substance. The body's just like, whoa, well, CBD can help and so can black pepper. And so anyway, wonderful, wonderful things to look at, but also topically, CBD is a great topical remedy that we include with our body butters. And you know, we have this chapter on bone and joint disorders, because that's a chronic condition that affects a lot of people, young and old. And actually the primary cause of accidental falls, which is a major cause of death for the elderly. So adding CBD can really help with that inflammation component and help soothe the pain, in addition to the peppermints and the winter greens and the frankincense and orange. I'll leave you with this. Orange, if anyone can afford any oil, it's orange. It's arguably the most affordable essential oil on the market. Note, I didn't say cheap because it's not cheap. It's just affordable. It's least expensive. Orange oil has by far one of the most wide range of uses with the budget. You can't beat it. I mean, pain relieving, inflammation, cancer fighting, mood boosting. It's like happy, joy, right? And there's virtually no use that I don't see that orange can't help with at one level or another. If you like orange, if you don't like orange, well, try something else. But most people also, it's a widely liked orange, or it's a widely liked smell. If you notice, Goo Gone and a lot of these sprays, these poo-poo sprays are typically orange scented. A lot of them, there's a reason. And manufacturers aren't dumb. They've done their research. They know that people like certain things, and orange is one of them. So get your hands on some orange oil and start experimenting. And even like I mentioned, Goo Gone, it's great for taking labels off of bottles. It's just so good for cleaning. I mean, it's just wonderful. But it's one of those things that people don't think about when it comes to pain. But it's a great pain reliever. Right. So there's umpteen amount of remedies out there and solutions. And the reality is we have a lot at our disposal. We have a lot of power. We have a lot of ingenuity. We have the intuition to play around and to figure it out. And that's something that I want to encourage people to do. Because, you know, as a chiropractor, I was trained to practice chiropractic. Your medical doctor was trained to practice medicine. I'm trying to help people practice essential oils, so to speak. And you don't need to go through $1,000, you know, 300-hour aromatherapy certification course. No, don't let that be a barrier. Like, get the basics down. You know, get the dilutions and understand that, you know, you want to dilute, you want to make proper ratios. Like, there's a little bit of math, but people like me, we got charts out there, just print it out, you know, make it easy. But once you get the basics down, you understand the concepts. Now there's no fear. You're very much empowered, and you start allowing yourself to experiment and play. And that's really, I find, where the rubber meets the road. That's where the proverbial magic happens. Because once you allow your intuition to guide and lead, you'll find that you'll be drawn to certain oils at certain times. And not that you could be oil deficient, like you could be vitamin D deficient, but I believe, and I can't prove it, but this is my, when I just suspect after all these years of doing this now, I suspect that your body craves certain emotions and feelings and just being. Right. And there are certain oils that maybe in the past you've been exposed to that gave you that feeling that your body is going to want because your body remembers. That's why when you smell a cologne or a perfume from an ex-girlfriend or boyfriend 20 years ago, it reminds you of them. And you actually have the same emotional experience as you did 20, 30, 40 years ago. That's the power of smell. That's memory. That's a neurological imprint. That's how powerful this stuff is. And so when you allow yourself to be an experience, you'll be drawn very much in a way where I think you'll be led to do some really fun things. It can help in a lot of ways.
Amazing. I have a drop of orange in my water bottle today. I go back and forth from a few different citrus oils just to spice it up a little bit. But yeah, before we close the show up today, I did want to hear a little bit about forest bathing. I know you teased us a little bit with us, but after that, we'll wrap the show up. But I would love to hear more about that.
Oh, Shinrin Yoku. Let me give a plug to a colleague, Dr. Jin Lee. Go on Amazon, just type up forest bathing book. And it's beautiful. Dr. Lee. Forest bathing is an actual formal practice of healing art. It's a healing art. It's a medicine in Japan. There are dozens of forest bathing centers. Essentially what forest bathing is being out in nature, ideally in a densely wooded area, and just allowing yourself to experience it, to completely bathing yourself, submersing yourself, baptizing yourself in the environment. You're not doing an ultra marathon. You're not focused on hiking in a certain amount of time. It's like you're just enjoying yourself. You could walk, you could do yoga, you could read, you could just whatever, do nothing. But being outside, and again, this, who would have thought, the resurgence of popularity of forest bathing really started last year when everyone was in quarantine again. And people are like, what are the risks of being indoors all the time? Well, that's when medical doctors and researchers started to show back research from years ago, like, look, it's been shown clinically that people who are indoors more than outdoors, they're sicker and their immune systems are dampened. And there's one research study that showed a 2-hour forest bathing session increased your natural killer cells, which are your natural immune fighting properties against cancer and others, right? Viruses. 1 2-hour session outside in the forest had a 1-month, 30-day long-lasting impact. Measurable, we're talking measurable by your NK, your natural killer cells, It took a month for those natural killer cells to go back to baseline. They were spiked that high just for being outside in the forest for just 2 hours, one day. Just think about that. Think about the power. And then as I started diving deep in the forest bathing, it's more about sacred geometry. It's more about looking at plants. Like there's a word, see in English, especially American English, we're very much in need of more poetic language and descriptive language. There's a word, one word in Japan that describes the type of light that shines through the leaves. You know that iridescent, beautiful light that kind of shines through the leaves? It just took me 10 words to explain that. There's one word to explain that in Japan, right? That's what forest bathing is. It's enjoying that. It's listening to the sounds of nature. Again, science of forest bathing, clinically proven, the sounds of the city are sympathetic stimulating. They're stress causing. They are linked to anxiety, stress, and depression. Even the hum, hum, hum of your refrigerator, compared to being outside, the birds, the leaves whistling in the wind, the stream rustling, the waves of the ocean, whatever, the wind, whatever. Those sounds are healing sounds, parasympathetic rest and digest and calming. That's really the state of mind that we need to be in most of the time, our state of body. So you have the sight, you have the sound, you also have the smell, and that's the key with us. What do you think you smell when you go out in nature? You're smelling the volatile organic compounds from the plants, from the grass, from the bushes, from the trees, especially trees. Evergreen trees, your Douglas firs, your cedar woods, your even your frankincense, your myrrhs. That's why so many people love these. Even copaiba, right? Was what we talked about. The tree oils have such a healing, stress relieving, inflammation soothing ability. And you're getting all that just by walking outside. It's like you're walking outside in a ginormous diffuser. I mean, it's really what it is, work being in a forest. And then you have the kinesthetic aspect of it, where you're hopefully maybe grounding, maybe you're barefoot, but touching leaves, touching dirt, putting your hand into a stream. It's like this whole connection back to what our ancestors only knew. Back to, if you have a biblical viewpoint, you know, if you believe you're from Adam and Eve, that's from dust of the ground. Like we are but dust. We have a very deep spiritual rooted ancestral connection to the earth. And it's only by going out into the earth. So getting out of our little wooden cardboard box is vital. And just the feeling of being, the feeling of not being stressed, not having a phone or a device next to you, allowing yourself to disconnect. And so if we could bring that indoors, now here's the thing, as much as I love oils, I have to be honest, I can't lie about this. The research has shown diffusing tree oils in an enclosed environment does not have the same effect as being outdoors, has a less of effect. Who would have thought? But who can be outdoors all the time? That's why I'm diffusing right now tree oils. I'm bringing outside in. I have plants in here as well to help cleanse the air. I'll listen to sounds of nature. I love listening to the sounds of streams and waterfalls and things. Like it's very invigorating to me. I don't know about you, but I actually just went waterfall hiking with my kids last week. There's like this negative ion rooted rush. It's like, you know, taking a shot of espresso. It's like, boom, you can get a little bit of that by listening to that sound, smelling the essential oils and all that. So forest bathing is a wonderful healing art. And I encourage people, maybe you don't have the luxury of living like I do close to forests, but you can still go outside. And even if it's going outside as densely wooded of an area as possible, your neighborhood park, whatever it is, go out there and just be. Go out there and touch some grass again. You know, get your hands dirty again. You know, pick a leaf, smell a blossom. We love gardens. There's beautiful, beautiful gardens where we live in Georgia. We have annual passes too. And it was just tulip season last week. We'll go 4 or 5 times a year seeing the different seasons. This appreciation, you know what? I'll leave you with this God awe-inspiring appreciation. Like this, again, is clinically proven. You'll learn more in that forest bathing book by Dr. Lee. Knowing that you are part of something bigger, knowing that there is a higher power, knowing that you didn't do this, essentially, knowing that there's something to be grateful for and appreciative for, having this sense of awe. And having five children, it's been a great reminder as I look at my children, my kids, with their sense of awe, like, wow. When's the last time you've been outside and you're like, wow? Like my kids were when we saw that waterfall last week, like, wow. Have you been so numb? Are you so desensitized to the beauty around you that you don't even appreciate that anymore? Don't hurt. Don't beat yourself up. Just recognize, hey, you know what? How about you get that sense of awe back, that sense of wonder? That's something that we need. And that's part of forest bathing, is just, wow, just appreciating the whole experience. And believe it or not, that's food for the soul, the mind, but the body. It's like most healing prescription anyone can take right now, especially in a day and age where most people are spending most of their times indoor. And even before the pandemic, 93% of our time was spent indoors collectively. Now, we don't know the numbers because the studies haven't been updated yet, but I can only guess, no joke, 98%. Most people aren't leaving. Wow. You know, what do? Get outside a little bit. So we love that, because it all is rooted in its basis. And that's why we talk about the essential oils apothecary as an apothecary, as a truly healing art. That's a lifestyle. This inhalation, aromatic, topical ingestion type of internal experience, where whether it's your body care, your cleaning products, your medicine, just the environment, you're truly tapping in to a wonderful, wonderful solution that our ancestors have enjoyed for forever.
Mm-mm. I think our family is probably the opposite of most. We've gotten outside a lot more during COVID than we did before. And we just moved. We were kind of in like a smaller downtown area, but it was still very much downtown. And we got a German Shepherd puppy this past year. And we moved further out into the country now. And she loves it. You think it affects humans, but your animals just as much. She goes running in a field every morning, and then we go walk through the woods for like a mile and a half walk, and she is just like, it's like reflection of my soul. Her, you know, you can tell when your kids are happy, your dogs are happy. It teaches you things, like you said, just to be in awe in every single moment. It's just, it's a miracle. It's a gift. So yeah. Well, thank you, Dr. Z, for coming on the show. I could talk and listen to you for probably 10 more hours. We might not have the time, but we can find you online. How can we find you online, and where can we find the latest and greatest book?
Yeah, my website is naturallivingfamily.com. Tons and tons of free resources and guides and stuff for you all to download and just check out there. The new book, Essential Oils Apothecary, available everywhere books are sold. And you can get it at eoapothecary.com. And my wife and I created a really cool little thank you gift package for people that bought it. We recorded more than 15 demo videos of how to make a lot of the recipes. And we have a lot of these kind of little cool side conversations, because my publisher limited me. Like, we're at the max. The book was going to bust. It's like, we can't do any more pages. This is as far as we can go. No joke. We have like 50 pages of references and citations. So anyway, yeah, eoapothecary.com. And please pick up a copy. Bless a friend or family member and enjoy. Make it a determination in your heart to do one good thing for yourself and to see it through and to enjoy and realize that you're worth it. So you're worth a couple dollars. You're worth a little bit of time. You're worth the effort. And then practice that little self-love and pay that forward.
I love that. Thank you for paying it forward for us today, but also in all your research, your books, just everything you do. And we close out every single show asking, how may we, the listeners, as an act of gratitude, be of service for you in return today?
You know, I would ask you to choose something. Choose one thing that you know that you have been neglecting. Choose one thing that you know that whatever it is. And I think you know, something that's been gnawing at your soul for a while. And don't do it. Change it or do it, whatever it is that you're supposed to do, right? And I'll ask you to go forward and make that determined effort to not ignore that divine guidance and to take that step dare I even say, to obedience, to listening, to doing what's right, because you know what's right. And then acting on that and making that a daily habit. And then watch where that goes, because things will open up in a world where now you'll be able to listen and you'll have a much greater insight into your intuition and to hearing from above. And that, to me, is truly how we stop a lot of the concerns and issues that we have right now. It starts with us, and it starts with us listening and being open to the guidance that we've been given.
Mm-hmm. I think of the phrase, you want to heal the world, heal yourself. Point blank. I like to call what you just said my divine discipline.
Yep.
Perfect. Well, what a beautiful end to another amazing episode. Thank you, Dr. Z, for coming on the show today. It was such a pleasure talking with
you. Thanks for having me. God bless everyone.
And remember, open up, surrender, trust, and let your body lead the way.